Hey friends, welcome to episode 167 of the Fierce Calling Podcast. I'm your host, Dara Swift. Welcome. I want to just invite you in today and just take a moment to take a breath and listen to some encouragement. How can we use the middle of our stories for God's glory? And how can God use the middle of our stories? And what does that even mean? This week, my guest is Sandra Jones, and she has a heart for encouraging women in difficult situations. She is sharing her story. There are broken parts of her story, but they don't define her. And our broken parts don't define us either. The broken parts give us courageous compassion for those who are hurting so that we can share what God has brought us through to encourage others and to inspire them to do the same. So listen to Sandra's inspiring story and learn how God can use the middle part of your story. But first, here's a quick message, and then stay tuned because I know what Sandra has to share is going to encourage, inspire, and challenge you. Friend, what threatens to steal your joy today? When the struggles of this world drain us dry and wring us out, our desert mentality becomes fertile ground for the enemy's lies to grow. We place our trust in what we see and feel instead of in the God we know and love. Surrender the Joy Stealers is a strategic 6-week Bible study rooted in John 15 that helps women rediscover the overflowing, ever-present Jesus joy within that fills them, empowers them, and ripens the fruit God produces in their lives. Using personal and biblical application, women will learn how to identify their joy stealers, surrender them to God, reawaken the joy within them, and share that joy with others. Pick up your copy today. It's perfect for individual or group study. You can find it on all the online retailers. Surrender the joy stealers. Rediscover the Jesus joy in you. It's time to take your joy back. Welcome back to the show. For 16 years, my friend Sandra Jones has brought a message of encouragement, love, and hope to women in difficult situations. As a result, hurting women see their true identity through God's eyes, and they discover freedom and forgiveness and experience the love from their Heavenly Father. She's the co-founder of Homeless Heart Ministry and has served as a women's ministry director, a youth ministry leader, prison ministry, and Bible teacher. So she's done a lot and she's served in so many different areas. She's my friend and sister and I love her dearly. She's so filled with joy and it's a great day to have you on. Thanks for being on the show, Sandra.
Well, thank you for having me. And it's so good to see your face. I haven't got to visit with you since CCC. So that just makes my whole morning brighter right there seeing you.
Yes, thank you. And me too. And CCC, Christian Communicators Conference. It's an amazing conference for Christian communicators. It's purposely small so that we can have a lot of one-on-one and more intimate interactions. And so it's really fantastic. And I've had several other sisters on too. So this is really cool. And Sandra, I would love if you would share your story. But I want to mention though, at the end of Christian Communicators Conference, there's a red carpet ceremony where you graduate and it's for speaking. And you've been speaking for a long time. So this is enhancing. And you know, the word says that we should keep studying and show thyself approved and learn all we can. But at the end, we get to choose a song that we can walk up there with. And we get to like kind of dance a little and then get awarded like a beautiful necklace as a, you know, ceremonial kind of thing. And you did that to I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool. That was you, wasn't it?
That was me.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And you were such a classy lady walking up there to that song. And I loved it. It was like one of my favorite ones. So anyway, it's just the kind of person that you are. So I would love if you would share a little bit about your story and share some of the gifts and talents God has given you and the arts and the things that you express through the different ways that you create things and how you are taking action where your passion, compassion, and conviction intersect.
Well, my story started, growing up as a child, I went through sexual abuse. And in doing that, I kept that to myself. Well, that gave the enemy a huge field just to start filling me with lies, which in order put me in a self-inflicted prison for 40 something years because I never spoke those words to anyone. And through failed marriages and just, always believing what the enemy was saying that I would never be good enough for anyone to really love. I was damaged property, just all the garbage that he will fill into you. I believe those. And I was at the verge of a divorce from my fourth marriage. And my girls had both grown, left home, they had started their families, and it was just becoming too overwhelming. And I just wanted it all to stop. And I found myself in the middle of a floor with a gun in my hand, and I just wanted it to quit. I wanted to quit hearing the lies. I just wanted all the drama, all the fights, all of it gone. And I was crying out, and I can't say that, I was crying out to God. I was just crying out to anybody or anything that would listen to me. Because I had been in church, growing up, but I had never built any type of relationship with him. And in the middle of that situation, that's when he reached down and I heard him so clearly just say, "No, not now. Now you're at a place where I can use you." And so from that moment right there, started my healing process, started the chains coming off. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, he spoke and every chain broke off of me and I became a free person because it wasn't like that. It was one chain link at a time. And it was a process of healing, it was a process of forgiving. And that was the first thing I had to do is I had to sit down and spend a day one-on-one with my father. And I had to sit with an empty chair in front of me so I could forgive the ones that had done the abuse, that had started the downfall. They had started it. That was not on me, what they did. But the choices I had made during my life, those were mine. And I had to own those. And I had to ask forgiveness for what I had done. I had to forgive the people that had abused me. And then I had to forgive myself so that I could move on. At that point, I really didn't know how or what God was going to do with all of this, and even in that forgiving, it wasn't a, he spoke to me that night, the next morning, everybody was forgiven and all was beautiful. It was again a process, probably a 4-year process that I went through of that forgiveness, and things would come back to my mind. And here would come the enemy again, trying to, dig back in. And I would just have to stop and say, "Father, I repent of this. I'm sorry of this. It was a choice I made. It was a wrong choice. How do I go beyond this now?" And every step of the way, he has shown me. If I had not gone through that, I would not be able to have walked inside those prison units and minister to the ladies there. I wouldn't be able to minister on the streets. Those areas are a passion of mine because so many women that I see there are believing those same kind of lies. We are all in some kind of prison. It's not. A prison is not four walls with, barbed wire fence around it. That's another just physical place. But we are all walking in some type of prison, something that we're dealing with, that gives the enemy that toehold where that he can just start digging in and reminding you all the time, well, you're not good enough for this. People are going to make fun of you. Look at the way you dress, all of just that garbage stuff that he does. And so that's where my passion is. I want them to see how God sees them. Whenever he created them, because so many of them think that they're what the world has said that they are, that they're that whatever somebody label has put on them, Maybe they have had an issue with drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe they found themselves, in a strip joint trying to make money to feed their babies, whatever it may be. And I just want them to see whenever God looks at them and he sees their little faces and he sees what he created from the beginning. He put those dreams, those desires in us, those goals that we want to reach. But so many women think that they can't do that now because of whatever they've been through. And whenever he started saying, I want you to start speaking in churches, I want you to start speaking at events, I started running backwards because I was like, God, I have nothing to say to these women that sat in the churches on Sunday morning. And he came back with, what makes you think that they're not just as broken as the ladies on the street and the ladies in prison? So whenever you get that mindset and he says that to you, it makes you stop and think. There are women out there that are broken. They're going through things. They're in their prison, but they feel like they have no one to talk to. So, I just want them, if there's any woman out there anywhere and they're scared to death, they feel like they have nobody to talk to, they can reach out to me. I will talk to you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care, if you need somebody to talk to, because so many of those roads have been down. And I don't ever want anybody to do it by themselves, I just want them to know how much he loves them,
I can just see it, how you are so passionate about that. And that's a God's honest truth, that someone can call you at any hour of the day and you would be right there to encourage them and lift them up. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, that we're to build each other up, and you are an encourager. I love how you just said, when he looks at their little faces, it's kind of so endearing because, besides your sweet accent, but also because we figure, okay, like when our kids are little, or when we approach a child and we want to gently caress their face and, have our eyes meet and look each other in the eyes. And it just like was a beautiful picture of how our father looks at our little faces, and so we are his children, and it's so precious. But I also thank you for sharing all of that with your story. That is such a powerful testimony of God's faithfulness and how he just grabbed you right off. But then, as you were saying, it took some time. And I just kind of picture that because it was a process that you went through with God. And I love how you described it as links in the chain, because the beauty of brokenness, when we go through the brokenness, is the breaking of the chains that bind us. And we often like just picture one chain and a link that breaks and the whole thing is gone and falls off of us. But the way you explained it was more like a chain link fence, like one chain at a time had to be dealt with, and how you kind of said it was a self-inflicted prison. And I really, is that how you said it? Self-inflicted. Yeah. That is really powerful, because oftentimes it is the root of unforgiveness, or it is even our, wanting to like always only put the blame on others. And like you said, you had to kind of take responsibility for your own choices and those things that contributed to you continually believing the lies, and things that manifested in how your relationships then became broken. Because our out of our brokenness, other things in our life become broken, and it's not, it's like kind of a surface symptom of a deeper wound. So I love how you described all of that. And so how do you minister when you go into the prisons and you meet with women? What does that look like, Sandra?
Well, it's according as to which area of the prison, of course, that we're going into. But in what we call general population, that is just like a regular church service. The ladies come into the chapel, they sit down, We have someone to bring praise and worship, you know, someone to deliver a message. Sometimes that's me, sometimes it's someone else. But it's again, when you're standing there and you're looking out over these ladies, some of them you will see the tears just pouring. Some of them, they're sitting there, you know, with a look on their face of, I've never heard anyone say those type of things. You know, there is a possibility that I could have a relationship with him. I could come to know who he is. And that's where that holding their faces, caressing their faces, because when you look out at them, you don't see the ladies in white. You don't see the brokenness. You just see that little girl that sometimes never had a mom, you know, never had any parents at all. Maybe they were raised in the foster system. Maybe they were raised on the street, you know. And you just look out and you see their little faces. I see that even in the men's prison, whenever we go in there, I look out, you know, and you see these 250-pound men all muscled up, tattooed all over. But when you look past that, and you just look and you see in their eyes that they're wanting that mama to come and just say, it's going to be okay. You know, and that's what he wants to do with us. You know, he's just saying, I'm right here. Oh, I just want you to come to me and it's going to be okay. You know, because we all have that hard story, that backstory, wherever and whatever we went through, that God reached down and he picked us up. That's your beginning. I always tell them when I share my testimony, you know, you got 15 minutes of the beginning of the movie that kind of gives you the plot of it. By the end of the movie, you've got 15 minutes and you figured out, you know, what, who did what, where they're going.
Right.
But it's the middle part where he is using you. You know, I always tell him, it's not my story. It's his story. It's the history of what he did in the people whenever he was here. It's the history of what he did in me, the history of what he wants to do in you. And that all boils down to if we will just give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried about the beginning of my story. That just tells you where it all started. The end of it, I know where I'm going to end up at. It's that middle part, what I call my God adventures, where he uses me and I get to go and meet these people and they pour into me. And, you know, I've stood in prison units when my sister was going through breast cancer. And I've looked out and I've had 200 women all dressed in white praying over me for my sister.
How beautiful. You know,
I know. It just, you know, things like that right there. I've seen people on the streets that I've got to sit down and visit with and then reach down because there's a rock on the ground that is very similar in shape to a heart. That's all they have to give me. But they want to give me that because that means something to them. Well, that floods my heart because I can see this sister sitting there and she's wanting something different. She just doesn't know how to take that first step into the next step. And that's what I tell them all the time. It is that first step. That's all you got to take. And he'll help you with the next step all the way through it, you know. I just want women to know who they are in Christ, that your past does not determine who you are. You know, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that the old man is gone and the new has come. That's what I want everybody to see, you know.
Yeah, so precious.
I just, you know, I love people. I love to talk to them. I love to visit with them. You know, I just want them to feel his arms wrapped around them. That's the whole bottom line of it. No matter what I do, where he carries us, that's just what I want them to feel.
Yeah.
Is to see themselves in his eyes.
Yeah, that's so sweet. And how when you look at others and they actually know that you see them and that they have value and they have worth. And it's not based on what's happened to them or what they've done or what's been done to them. It's based on who they are, the way that God made them in his image, and bringing that message of hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so amazing to have the opportunity to share that. But they need that next step, like you said, and oftentimes we find ourselves in those situations where we want to get over this chasm. We just don't know how to jump over it. And we need someone to help us with building that bridge across. It's so sweet that that's your ministry, to help people building a bridge from where they are to God and knowing him personally.
Well, you know, because I've been there where so many of them are at, you know, I've been where I didn't have a home to live in. You know, I've been where I looked for my answers in the bottom of a bottle. None of those worked. Yeah. You know, I chased all of that and none of it worked. I made bad choices. It didn't make me a bad person, but I just had to go through that cleaning. I have to go through that purification with him. You know, I know that I can't do it on my own, because believe me, I go to him so many times, you know, with the list. Oh, God, let's do this. Let's do this. This is really a good idea. Uh-huh. And I can just see him sitting back, you know, and shaking his head and going, yeah, you go ahead, girl, and explain all that to me. And then we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
You know,
then be still. Yeah. Be still and hang on for a sec. I got another idea, a bigger plan that you have no idea about.
Yes. You know, I try to tell them all the time, you know, there are things going to happen and you're going to wonder, why in the world is this happening right now? Mm-hmm. And it may be 6 months, it may be 6 years down the road, and then it's going to come back and you're going to go, oh, that's why I had to go through that to get here, you know.
Yeah.
And we're all like that, every one of us, you know. Whenever we started our business and he started calling me and gave me the name of our ministry, and I was like, God, that's all great. Mm-hmm. I will go do whatever you say to do. But you have to understand that this girl is broke. So I have no money. I am not good at asking for donations of stuff. So how do you plan on this work? And, you know, it was like, you just use the talents that I've already given you. So in order that opened up our business of furniture painting, you know, all the stuff that we do, because a percentage of all of that goes to fund the ministry. And our ministry is a resource ministry. It's not that we have a place that you can come to, but we can get you to where you need to be. We can help you if you're stranded somewhere and you need a bus ticket. We can help you with that. You know, if you need food, with that type of thing. I'm a firm believer in that. If your table is not long enough, just add on to it. You know, I just want my table to be long enough that I can gather them all around it and you can feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to always feel like you're in a safe place whenever you're visiting with me.
That's,
you
know, so sweet.
What you tell me is safe. It's not going to be spread out as gossip all over town. You know, so that's my heart. That's where we lie at, you know. Our door is open. I always tell them, I will help you any way I can. I will not enable you to stay in the same situation that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, but if you are ready and you're seeking something else, I will do whatever I can to help you reach that.
I can picture that table that you have, Sandra. And it just reminds me of, you know, how we are looking forward to being seated at the Lord's table. And I can just picture your table, and then it just keeps going on for miles and miles and miles. And all these people are sitting around it, and you know that you're there just serving with a joyful heart and wanting to help. But I also love how you just shared, there is a difference between a handout and hand up and helping someone to move out of a situation rather than enabling them to stay in a situation that they're in, which doesn't really help. I'm on staff at my church and we deal a lot with benevolence help. And oftentimes, you know, we have to refer people on to other resources so that they can become someone who can lean on God and look for other ways that they can get out of a cycle that is kind of like a cycle that they feel like can't be broken. Because when you start getting the calls over and over from the same people, you can see that there's a pattern and that it's a cry for help and just, you know, maybe paying a light bill or putting a Band-Aid on something isn't really actually helping them. You know, one night at a hotel or motel just to get them off the street, that's one night. What do they do the next morning? Seems like your heart and ministry is to help people get out of a cycle of the things that they keep running around in and can't seem to break loose of.
It is, you know, because it's like that saying, you know, you keep going back and doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. Mm. You're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are in jail and you get out and you go right back to the same people that you were doing drugs with or whatever it was you were doing with, you may be clean right then, but it won't be long until you'll be right back doing it again, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's the patterns that we have to break.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got to find whatever place is going to work for you, get you in that program. But the number one first thing that you have to do is you've got to make the choice that you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can help you all we can. We can send you everywhere in the world. But until you make that choice that you want a different life, that generational curse is going to break. It stops right there with you. Mm-hmm. There's no amount of help out there that is going to change it. You know, you've got to come to know who our Father is. Mm-hmm. You've got to want to build a relationship with Him. You've got to learn to be open and honest with Him. I tell them all the time, you just go to Him and you talk to Him like you're talking to me or anyone else. You have a bad day, tell Him about it. You're mad about something, that's okay. You can be mad with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, you're joyous over something, showing that joy, showing that love, every emotion that you've got, share it with Him first. Mm-hmm. You know, because you want to run to your best friend or your spouse, you know, and tell them whatever your day was, run to Him first.
Yeah.
And especially if you find yourself in a hard spot, you find yourself in that anger, run to Him first. Because a lot of times that helps you to keep from saying something that you'll regret later on or doing something. Mm. There are so many fantastic programs out there. We have seen ones that have been in prison come out and start the programs. And they are the very best to start them because they've been through it, mm-hmm. you know, and that old saying, you know, you can't con a con.
Yeah.
That is exactly it, you know, because if they have already lived this life and they've lived it harder than what you have, mm-hmm. it's hard to pull something over their eyes. So they are the best ones to have these programs. And, you know, that's, we try to steer them toward the right one, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah, sometimes helping somebody is just buying them a tank of gas, mm-hmm. you know, or helping pay a light bill. Yeah. It's not that people are bad. Sometimes you just fall on hard times.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. And it is a truly a crisis situation, maybe a job loss mm-hmm. or a health issue and something like that where just, you know, a little bit of help is what they need right at that moment. And yeah, that's definitely different in discerning those things. I love how you were talking about earlier, how when you were going into the prisons and you actually also go into the men's prison and how the men need to hear this message too, and how you can almost be like a mama figure for them if they haven't had that before, and how you are very nurturing and you just bless people so much. I love all the wise things that you've shared today. Also how you were talking about when people have been through it, they can be used then by God to share their experiences and help other people too. Because it's such an encouragement and a hope when you see a person who's walked through the valley and they're on the other side and they're saying, you can get over here too. And I'm going to help you. I'm throwing you this lifeline. It's, you know, it's Jesus, and I'm going to pull you on through.
That is it, you know, and like I say, He has just put us in places with so many different ministries that is exactly, they're ex-offenders. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the lady that started the prison ministry that we go in with, she's an ex-offender. So many of the volunteers that go in are, I have a dear friend that her and her husband both were ex-offenders. They have a fantastic program, you know. Mm-hmm. So I love it whenever you can see somebody come up out of it, you know, and not all of them have been in jail. Some of them are homeless people that were homeless, but now they have come up out of that. And, you know, it just makes my heart so happy whenever I see one of them and, you know, see the work that God has done in them. Mm-hmm. And I had one girl one night tell me in jail, she said, I just want to be free. And I just, you know, had to tell her, honey, being free of this building that you're in and being free in him is two very different things. Yeah. You can walk out of this building every day and still be in jail.
Amen.
It's whenever you find that freedom in him, whenever you, you know, you open his word and you use it as a conversation with him. You're not just reading something, you know, you're not just coming into to church, whether it be in jail on the street or Sunday morning every Sunday, you know, you're not just coming to church just to come to church.
So true.
You want that relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could just grab them all and just bring them in.
I'm sure they feel that way when you speak to them, you know, and speak to their hearts. They feel like it's a big warm hug from you and from the Father through you. And and it is so true that we can always be in the mindset of, if I can only do this, or if I can only get this, or if I can only go there, then it'll be good. Like that's my goal. You know, we can have these goals, but not realize that once, even if that's achieved, like you said, even if that woman walked out of those walls and out from behind the bars, it doesn't mean the bars are gone.
Right.
Unless we can find true freedom in Jesus, and we can be more free inside than outside too. So that's the hope.
Yes. And that is what we see so many times, you know, because in there, they're all dressed the same.
Yeah.
You know, they don't worry about if they're coming to church, you know, and, oh, she's got that on or she's got that on. They don't worry about what they drove up in. Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, anything about what size house they live in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all dressed the same. They all eat the same food, you know. So all of that is gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they are given the clear opportunity to choose him.
Yeah.
But that's it right there. They have to make that choice. Same way us on the outside, we have to make that choice, you know.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? I mean,
Why wouldn't you? And then, yeah, that reminds me of the song When All Is Stripped Away, because basically they're at a point where all material things are stripped away and they're left there. But then they could also probably fall into, well, now I'm no different than anybody else. But they can then realize through messages of hope like your message that, no, they're unique and wonderfully made by God. And it doesn't matter if they're wearing the same outfit the next girl's wearing, they're different and special and unique.
And that's it. You know, God only made one you.
Mm-hmm.
There will never be another you. You could have an identical twin and you still are the only one you that God ever made. And those dreams, those desires, those goals that he instilled in you before you ever even opened your eyes on this earth, those are still there. We've just let all the garbage come in on top of it and kind of, you know, settle them down in the bottom. Why not bring them back to life?
Yeah.
Why not let him bring you up and you start doing whatever it is that he put in you, you know, whatever you wanted to be when you were a little girl. That's my main question I ask them is, well, when you were a little girl, what did you want to be?
Mm.
You know, and they will give me their answers. And I'm like, so what is holding you back from doing that right now?
Yeah.
You know, there are things that I am doing right now that have been dreams of mine, you know, and it's like, I'm a grandmother of grown children out of college, you know, already making their families and all.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, he's like, it's new every day.
Yeah.
As long as it is walking hand in hand with him and he gives the okay on it, then let's go for it.
Let's go for it. Let's go, girl. Yeah, that is the adventures with God, like you were saying earlier. Yeah. Every day is a new adventure, and we never know what's up next on God's agenda, because it's pretty exciting stuff.
So, exactly.
This has been so fantastic, Sandra, and you've just shared so many encouraging things and so much great wisdom that I know that whoever's listening right now has been encouraged greatly by it and probably needed to hear it today, because God's timing is perfect. And I would love if you would share how the listener can connect with you and even like share how they can discover all of your beautiful crafts and things that you do, because that's wonderful.
Okay. Our business side is J Designs and Auctioneer Services, LLC. You can put that in, find us on Facebook. You can Google us, you know, the wide world of social media. Mm-hmm. You can track us down somewhere on there. As far as my speaking, you can contact me at sandrajonesspeaks@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, also Instagram. So, you know, any of the social media platforms, you can find me on either one of those. My phone number is on everything. If you need a 3 a.m. call me. If you just want to send me a private message, email me, whatever you want to do. If there is anything that I could sit and talk with you about or help you, you know, to find out who you are in Him, just let me know.
Wow.
We're having a blast in our business part of it, because He just continues to bring new clients. He mm-hmm. continues to bring clients that we either get to share with, or they share something and pour into us. Mm-hmm. And so we are just, you know, we're having a blast with Him.
Yeah. And you make beautiful hats.
Thank you. You know, we've gotten the opportunity to add the hats in. We do furniture. We do epoxy countertops. And one reason, because I had to ask Him, Father, why are you bringing all of this stuff back to me? You know, over through the years, we have done, you know, this or that. Our next big adventure, what we are trying to get started now, is about 10 years ago, He laid on my heart whenever we were at an event. These people come out of a rehab. They come out of prison. They're just down on their luck, you know. Mm-hmm. They're living on the street because they can't make ends meet with what they make at a job. We want to bring them in and start teaching them a trade.
Mm.
So that whenever they do come out, you know, you come out and you have a felon against you, it's hard to find a job.
Yeah.
But if we can bring you in and teach you a trade, it may not make you a millionaire, but it will keep you from going back into what you came out of, and you can make an honest living. You know, you could work with us. You can start your own business. I've had women that have come and I have taught them how to make the soaps.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to get rich making soap? I'm going to say probably not.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? You can set up at the farmer's market and you can sell enough to buy groceries for that week.
Yeah. And your soaps are fantastic. I bought them at the conference. I love them. They're so good. But I love that so much, how you are actually practicing what you preach. Like, you're not just saying, you need to do this. You're saying, you can do this through Christ. Let me show you how. And you're the real deal, Sandra. I mean, when you put your phone number out for people to call you, you know, like, some people are so protective of their phone number. Like, oh, I don't want to give out my cell because, you know, I'll get these random calls. Well, we get random calls anyway. I mean, how many spam calls do we get a day, right? So I love that you are just the real deal and put it out there, and I'm available. Call me. I would love to bring you hope and healing through Christ. I just love that so much. So remember, friends, if you are interested in looking for a speaker for your next event, to reach out to Sandra, because she is powerful in her message, but also in her love and her passion and compassion for whoever it is that would be attending, and you would not be sorry. So thank you so much, Sandra. And I'll have the links in the show notes so people can find you, and I hope that they reach out to you and share their stories with you too. So it's been a great pleasure, and I'd love to have you back on again sometime.
Well, thank you. I would love to. Anytime you just let me know because this has been great and I love seeing you. Your face just brings joy to me. You have got the most beautiful smile and just a twinkle in your eyes. I
Oh,
love it.
thank you. Friend, God bless you and your family and your ministry, and we will talk soon.
I pray nothing but blessings on you and your ministry, and I hope to see you again real soon.
Friends, thank you so much for listening in today, and I just loved my conversation with Sandra. She just was full of encouragement, and I love her ministry and her heart for the hurting, and how she goes into the prisons and she shares what freedom really means. Because, friend, like we were saying in the show, sometimes you can feel like you're in a prison if you're in a physical prison. But yet, if we're not free through Christ, then we can be in a prison anywhere. So I hope that's encouraging to you, that freedom can be yours today. If you are struggling, or if you have not yet met Jesus, and I want to invite you to check out all of Sandra's links. I put them in the show notes for you. But also, I would love for you to check out my website at daraswift.com and look up the Meet Jesus page, because you can find some encouraging information there about meeting Jesus, about giving your life to Christ, because it is transformational and life-changing. And you can find that under the Resources tab on my website. So, friend, I hope you'll join me next time when I talk with another woman who's taking action where her passion, compassion, and conviction intersect. Until then, friend, have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode that is part of the Spark Media Network that can now be heard on the Edify app.